Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 367. Today we have two questions because I only know the answer to one of them. And so I'm soliciting help from the rest of you and the great wise hive mind brain of an audience to give me the answer to the other one. Here is the question I do not have an answer to. Charles says, I recently read a fantasy novel that had an interesting style to it. The novel had four short stories that were essentially four parts of a bigger story. While each short tale was complete in and of itself, all four told part of a larger story overall. What is this type of novel called, and could you recommend others? This was the first Cormac story by William King, and an excellent fun sword and sorcery tale. Well, Charles, I hate to admit it, but it is in fact true. I don't know what that kind of a book is called, and the only one I have ever run into myself that really fits that description is An Instance at the Finger Post, or An Instance of the Finger Post, by Ian Pearl, I think it is. I keep talking about it, but I can never remember the details. I'll link to it in the show notes. If any of the rest of you know what this kind of book is called, and have some examples of others of this type of book, I would love to hear about it, because I'm fascinated by this storytelling form, too, and I've found precious few examples. But if we all pool our resources, we can find more, and I will do a show just on this kind of book. Maybe if I've got a name for it, I can even find an expert to bring on. So anyone who has any ideas, please write in or comment on this show's episode so that I can find them all in one place. That would be even better. Moving on from there, sorry, Charles, I wish I could do you better, but hopefully over the long term we will. Moving on from there, we hear from JR, who asks,
I don't think we've had a craft episode on strategies to revise or edit your work. How do you digest your editor's notes so you don't get overwhelmed, etc.? I know it worked for me. I treated a chapter at a time, but are there better ways? How do other authors do it?
Well, JR, what I do is, once it's done, it gets printed out, and both Kitty Nakian and I go over it with different colors of pens, red and green usually, something that'll show up well against the black text. At the same time, for some books, I have other beta readers. They're generally series-specific, in all cases drawn from fans of those series, so I can trust them to notice continuity errors and stuff that might blow by me. When I get all the notes back, including my own, I open up the manuscript and I go through them. When it comes to the stuff that comes in electronically, I merge all the comments onto a single manuscript. And then I read through the marginal notes and delete any right off the bat that I know I'm not going to listen to. The ones that I think I might want to listen to stay, and then I go through stepwise, page by page, reading as I go, with the hard copy and the electronic notes all in front of me at once. And I deal with them as I can. Now, I always look at all the notes before I sit down to work on them, because occasionally there'll be stuff like broken plot problems or idiot plot problems that I'll want to fix. And it makes no sense to do plot surgery after I've gone through and entered in proof editing corrections and other stuff like that. I first consolidate all of those and figure out what I'm going to do about them, and I take care of those as I go while I'm entering in the more mundane corrections for grammatical clarity, sentence problems, vocabulary issues, and proof edits. It takes me about, I'd say, 2 or 3 hours to do a whole book that way, regardless of the number of beta readers or notes I have on any particular one, because that concentrating and triage process gets rid of a lot. It also shows me if there are any themes emerging in the notes, because if two people point out the same problem, I'm much more likely to listen to it, because it tells me that I have probably done something wrong at some point. So I look at those and I figure out if the problem that they're complaining about actually happens where they've noticed it, or if it happens earlier on and I need to fix it. Once that's all done, it goes into the ebook and then into the publication pipeline, and that's pretty much how I do it. Back when we were doing all electronic, I just did it all electronic, but what we've discovered is that Kitty works a lot better with a hard copy than she does with a manuscript. When she's looking at a manuscript on a computer, she just reads the story, whereas if she's got a hard copy, she will notice problems. And it's because she works on a computer all day for other things, and so she's used to cutting to the quick and not looking at it in minuscule detail. And when that was happening, I just consolidated everybody's notes into one manuscript and did exactly the same process I've just outlined to you, just without the hard copy step. That's the way I do it, and a lot of other people do it different ways. As far as how I decide what to listen to, the two things that I'm most interested in are my story and the emotional effect on my readers. And so those are the things I pay attention to most. If someone is complaining because they didn't like the story, I really don't care. Unless they didn't like the story because I obviously made a mistake. But if the story I'm telling is one that rubs them the wrong way, I just take it into account that I'm likely to get those kinds of reviews and then move on. It's the structural stuff I'm interested in, and or emotional misfires. Like if I'm trying to create a particular mood or effect in the reader and they're getting something else out of it and it's obvious that they've missed the point, I know that I have made a mistake, and so I look for that mistake and fix it. But that's about how I do things around here. Different people do it different ways, but everyone I've ever heard of that does it, who's got a long-term viable career and has privileged me with telling me how things work for them, they've all got a similar step. The key step is deciding which notes you're going to listen to and which ones you're not. As far as my value system is concerned for what fiction is, what it does, and what it's for, the priority should always be the story and the effect on the reader. Other people have different priorities or approaches, but those are the ones that are most consistently important for me, and those are the people that I've gotten advice from generally line up along those lines. Now, this may be selection bias. I may be gravitating toward mentors who share my priorities. So don't take it as gospel that that's the only approach. I have this terrible feeling that this is a much less specific and detailed answer than you wanted, but that's honestly what I got. So you're going to have to live with it, but feel free to ask a more particular question if there is something specific you were looking for that I missed, and I will be happy to wrestle with it on pod. Thanks for sending it in, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.